joining us in the studio now to give us a little musical action here is Bump Blomberg.
Hello.
Good to have you in the studio, Bump. It's been a while since you've graced our airways, but so thanks for coming on in. And
thank you for asking me. It's always a privilege.
It sounds great. And, of course, you play solo and you play also with Pushing Chain.
Yes,
with,
Adam Moe,
yep.
Myself.
All right. Well, why don't we start out with a tune here? Get things rolling, and then we'll figure out more. Oh, because we also have another person in the studio here. We have Lyndon.
Yeah, just when you thought you were solo.
Yeah, your son
brought
is
your
in here.
Manager and your bodyguard.
I brought
and your,
my boy in with me.
Your boy, Lyndon
Blomberg. Right, we got things to talk to him about, too. So, but let's start with the tune here and get us rolling.
This is a newer one that Adam and I have been playing on stage, and I really originally wrote it, and it has a fiddle break in it, and I'm going to try to play a harmonica instead of the fiddle, which I can't play. We'll see how that goes. I've never done it before. This is called A Long Way to Love.
When I pierced the veil above your fair and lonely wedded footsteps, we pretended that the lamplight was a moonrise in the mountains, went flooding through our senses, pulling tides of future yesterdays on new and foreign lands. Now it's a long way to love, seems a long way to love, maybe a long way to love, but I can see it from as I shook the charcoal from my coat, spilling ash across the pages. My stairways led to nowhere. On a night we'll know forever when it's luck from where you hail. With seasons much more vivid than this perfect little corner. Now it's a long way to love. Seems a long way to love. Maybe a long way to love, but I can see it from with all my might, whilst acting out transgressions in history notwithstanding, viewing puzzling for some solace, we pressed on to the cardinal points and stowed the broken compass. Be true or lose your turn. Now it's a long way to love, seems a long way to love, maybe a long way to love, but I can see it from on that night began to live inside of dreams so dreamt of how and why and when and where, though nothingness still matters, since now as I was sending the truth of understanding in songs of sirens muses. Now it's a long way to love, seems a long way to love, maybe a long way to love, but I can see it from
Bump Blomberg here on the Roadhouse.
Thank you. And,
nice.
That sounded
nice.
Good.
Thank you.
And, you know, our longtime listeners will definitely recognize that voice and your playing. And but, you know, things have kind of changed a little bit for you because, you know, you've been, it seems like you're writing more songs now.
I sure am. When I was a kid and traveling around the country in a band called the Goonie Birds, you know, I was doing it full time and writing quite a bit. But I was, that was, you know, I was 19 through about 25 years old. And for about the last 4 or 5 years, I've just been hitting it, writing a whole bunch. And Adam and I, last year we did 197 or 98 dates together, 43,000 miles.
Yeah, wow.
That's a lot of windshield time with Mo in the vehicle.
So you feel like you're 20 years old again?
Yeah, exactly. Sleeping on couches and, yeah, exactly. I bring my sleeping bag everywhere we go. And
right. So how do you get these gigs? Who books you?
We have a booking agent, and she does a great job of rustling up gigs for us. You know, we're probably, I don't even know what the percentage is, but we play a lot of listening rooms. You know, we have residencies down in the Twin Cities, a couple of them. One's called the 318 out in Excelsior, Minnesota, which only holds like 60 people. And then also a place called the Ice House down on Eat Street, 2500 block in Nicollet. We play there once a month. That's a brunch situation. And then, you know, just state by state, every major city has a little listening room, folk club. You know, we play festivals and a lot of house concerts as well, which is a great movement that's been happening for many years across the United States, California, Texas, and the East Coast especially. And that's 20, 30, 40 people in someone's house. And
right, and then you played that one huge gig last summer.
That was sizable. Adam and I.
28,000, you said.
28,000 people at the Twins White Sox last June 22nd.
Wow.
We had never sang the national anthem before. Adam knew the words. You know, I was a sports. I played sports growing up, and I always, like, you know, had my hockey helmet off and across my chest, mumbling the words. So I've really actually had to learn the words, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. It was a little
with instruments?
No. I just had a harmonica. You got to start on the right note, you know.
Wow.
And they say it's a difficult song to sing.
Yeah. Adam had an exit plan, though, which was brilliant. First off, I made the mistake of going on YouTube after we got the email to asking if we'd do it. And, the internet's rife with people screwing up, you know, yes, from famous country stars reading the words off their hands to Roseanne Barr. And they skewer like poor little 12-year-old girls in the middle of, flyover country in the United States at AAA games. You know, no one's, you know, comes the anthem, no one's there. So anyway, if it went horribly wrong, Adam said, we're going to drop our pants, and then we'll get on the 10 o'clock news. Not forgetting the words, we'll be the guys that dropped our pants down to our... But we didn't have to do that. Remembered all the words and weren't too pitchy, and it was a lot of fun. But, boy, they stick you out there on home plate, and then whoop, give you a little shove, and there you are.
Wow. Did the Twins win?
They did.
Yeah.
13-2, I thought they were going to have us come back this year, you know, tell us not to change our underwear and socks and stuff, you know, how superstitious those sports people are.
That's probably a pretty sought-after thing. There's only like 80 home games, but they probably have a lot of people trying to get in there.
They do. It was quite a feather in our cap to be asked to do it. And yeah, it's not a lot of – I chatted with Leah Carpenter up here because she had sang it before at a Vikings game. And perhaps some other things, but I got a little advice off of her. And then another friend of mine sings for the White Sox in Chicago all the time, Comiskey. Mm. And so I talked to a couple people anyway and kind of got the rundown, but it's intense. You know, it's an intense experience. And you think, you know, a bunch of great things are going to happen because you're in front of a bunch of people. We got like one Facebook like over the next 3 weeks. Yeah, you know, so it's like, it's that old, I'd rather play for 28 people paying attention than 28,000 that are like waiting for the first pitch.
They're in the line to get a hot dog.
Exactly,
you
right?
You definitely found out you were the opening act on
exactly.
that one.
Exactly. But it was fun. Done. I wish they would have started us at like a Cook County Vikings game up here, though. That probably should have been where we started, but it worked out.
Right. So Pushing Chain now. So as you guys tour around, so how far are you going in north, south, east, and west?
Well, last month we were down in we routed down through Minnesota to Columbia, Missouri. We played the Daniel Boone Regional Library and then a house concert there, and then we were at the Folk Alliance International Conference, which is 4,000 people, about 1,500, 1,750 musicians, and then industry people,
mm-hmm.
folk DJs, concert presenters, agents, etc. And we co-host a showcase room with our record label. We're signed with Kingswood Records. One of the owners is in Needham, Mass, or Boston. The other one's right outside of Cleveland. So, and some of our label mates were there with us as well, and it's a great opportunity. This year, we're going touring down to Austin. We're going to be out in Washington this fall, upstate New York or Hudson Valley, actually. So we got a bunch of things. In May here, we're actually going down to Mississippi. Adam's sister and brother-in-law live down there. So we're going to go down there, hopefully Birmingham, Nashville, and then wind up in Asheville, North Carolina.
Wow. You guys need a driverless car.
The Google car.
What's the mode of transport?
Well, I had Gordon Thorne's old Honda Civic, and I parked it with 339,000 miles on it. And it's still got life in it, my boy. Linda might be driving that, learn how to drive a stick shift. And then an old friend of mine, really old, like since fifth grade, pretty much gave me his 08 Mazda 6. So now we're traveling in style.
Luxury. Nice.
Yeah.
08.
Yeah, big deal.
But it's probably got, what, 200,000 on it?
No, that one only came with 84,000 on it. He's a patron of the arts, or my art anyway, so that was awfully nice of Rob.
Nice, nice. Well, let's hear some more of that special sound.
Sure. This is a song, when I play this live, a lot of times I'll tell a story about how I wrote this for Patsy Cline and Dave Dudley. Most people know who Patsy Cline is. Dave Dudley was born in Hudson, Wisconsin. Grew up in St. Paul. He was actually a radio DJ in Duluth. And as Bill Kirchen says, he nearly single-handedly started the subgenre of country music called truckin' music. He most famously wrote 6 Days on the Road. Anyway, I had this little swagger in my voice when I was writing it, and so that's why I thought of him. But, you know, they're both deceased, but as a songwriter and a self-deprecating Scandinavian, I find it easier to write for dead people because the rejection letters don't come as often, right? Anyway, this is called Between Teardrops. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. How can we leave this place rarely seen? Now we're back home, marked with love like a stain. And after you'd left, I guess I'd be right in saying only cold hearts make snow from the rain. It's so lonely between the teardrops, like we're downstream from what's meant to be. I'm so lonely between the teardrops. He's got you, it's lonely teardrops for me. Now can a peacock be prouder for knowing a life examined if just for today? I'm back in Nashville, that ain't Kansas City anymore. No Bellinas were no signs lead the way. It's so lonely between the teardrops, like we're downstream from what's meant to be. I'm so lonely between the teardrops.
He's got you. It's lonely teardrops for me. It's so lonely between the teardrops, like we're downstream from what's meant to be. I'm so lonely between the teardrops. He's got you, it's lonely teardrops for me. He's got you, it's lonely teardrops for me.
All right. Sounding pretty darn good there, Bob. Oh,
thank you.
Though. That's
it
a good
is. You know, it makes
tearjerker.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, right?
Sells some whiskey with that song.
Yeah. So how do you go about writing songs like this? I mean, do you have a usual way? Are you, I mean, do you get into this groove or do they just pop into your head? Or
I write from title often. So I'll come up with a title and then I kind of do my due diligence. Sometimes it works. I have a song I wrote called Sorrows I Was Swim. I was out with a woman that actually used to work here, and we were going to Merlefest, so we were down in Georgia or somewhere or another. And I was listening to National Public Radio, and a guy was being translated from Spanish about how his catastrophic weather event, his fishing village, got swept away. And he said, "We tried to drown our sorrows, but found out they could swim." And I thought, by gosh, Sorrows Always Swim, that's a country song right there.
Yeah.
And then I'll go to the Google, I'll go to Harry Fox, which is a database of songs, and then I'll also go to iTunes and see, you know, nothing out there. I found Frida Kahlo, the famous artist, had a quote with it, so it's kind of, what would that be, an idiomatic expression of some kind, I guess, you know, folks saying, like, don't count your chickens is all I could gather. And then other times you think you're going to be brilliant, like, you know, you got Goodbye, you know, all those have been written. There's no good in goodbye. What's the good in goodbye, et cetera, et cetera. And you think, oh, yeah, well, you know, everyone's done it.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And then there are people out there on the interwebs that write yesterday just so they can hopefully get confused with, you know, a Beatles tune or something like that. But so I write from title a lot. And then sometimes it's the chord movement. I'll challenge myself to put a chord sequence in. And then, you know, I do the mumbly bit a lot. And sometimes it just something bubbles up and then it chase it down a rabbit hole and see what happens.
So how many songs you got in your repertoire?
Well, we've been going with 30 some originals here lately. So most of, you know, we do a lot of 250 minute set, maybe 275s at the very most. So, you know, we can, typically we're about 95% original tunes right now, and then we might do one or two covers. But then, again, when we play at Bluefin or Lutzen Resort and some of those kind of gigs where you're, I don't want to say background music, that's not fair, but you put more touchstones in, put more covers in, because people like to, all of a sudden they'll, you know, oh, that's Tennessee Waltz, right, or that's, right. You know, whatever. So then you can kind of squirt some more of those in. But a lot of places where we're playing, they kind of frown on having too many covers, you know.
Yeah.
So
are you still helping out with that open mic down at Charlie's?
I am. That's on Tuesday nights. We have just a couple of them left for the season here.
Yeah.
And we've been having some great great talents show up. It's always a lot of fun. So yeah, that's on Tuesday night, 7 p.m. at Papa Charlie's, which is a lot of fun.
Is it a lot of locals coming to the stage?
A lot of locals, and I avail my guitar. A lot of times there are people that are traveling that, you know, are there and don't have a guitar, and
fun.
And so I'll let them come up and use mine. And then also a lot of locals. My friend Brenda's been coming out with a pedal steel. Timothy Anderson's out quite a bit. Who else have we had lately? I don't know. Here, there. Susan Geckis stopped out. Brian
Bennett
has been playing his big didgeridoo, or a few of them actually.
Yeah,
which has been totally cool.
When one of these days your boy might come out.
Yes,
we got him right over here. We should bring him into the mix here.
Lyndon. His little sisters got up and sang with me before, and you've probably been on that stage.
Yeah,
with me as
there's
well.
A picture of me when I was like 2 years old. On the newspaper one time, be sitting on your knee at Pop Charlie's for open mic.
Nice.
Yeah, what's it like being a son of a famous musician?
Oh.
Famous,
yeah.
Famous.
Well, legendary?
That's
legendary.
A medium fish in a
Grand
small
Marais.
Pool is what it is.
In Grand Marais.
In Grand Marais, there we go. Yeah. Well, tell us. Yeah, I mean, so, but you play music now, too. You're starting to play.
I dabble.
and you dabble, what kind of instrument?
I play bass guitar.
And how did you pick that one?
His papa said, if you want to work in the music business, be a bass player.
Yeah.
Bass player who can sing. I've only got the bass playing part down, though, right now. Haven't quite got singing down.
Right. And so, and what grade are you in?
I'm in ninth.
Ninth grade. And you're actually in a band. You're starting to...
I am,
You formed a band or are part of a band.
Yep. With Noah Roth, Jack Hausner, Will Lamb, Leif Anderson, and Jack Byron. And I would tell you the name, but we haven't come up with a name yet.
But you're taking suggestions.
We are taking suggestions,
Yeah. And I said, you know, once they get their name and they get a little more polished, boy, we'll have them in.
We'll have you right
That'd
on the roadhouse here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're working towards a big gig. You want to pump that gig?
Yeah, we will be playing
a benefit fundraiser.
Fundraiser for Cook County Band. And it will be at Sven and Ollie's. We're still working out the date, but I think it will be pre-advertised.
Yep, early first or second week in April probably is what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be like the world premiere.
The world premiere.
You better get your name straight before then. Huh?
Yeah, gotta get my name before then.
You get the posters and the merch, like all the t-shirts, everything.
You know, there are a couple name generators on the internet now, band name generators.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Like an animal and then take like an adjective.
Your middle name and the street you grew up on.
Yeah,
so
something
you'd be,
like that.
You'd there be you Graham go. Pike Lake Road or
that's
Graham
catchy.
Pike.
That's got a nice ring to it, definitely.
Graham Pike. That's a good stage name for you.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. And so do you guys practicing now? And
yeah, we practice two or three times a week. I mean, you got to have some time to actually learn the stuff by yourself. Otherwise, it gets a little bit chaotic at rehearsal. So you need time to learn it, and then you can come together and actually practice and stuff like that, work out the kinks.
Nice. So everybody's playing their own part, and then you kind of master your part, and then you get together, and hopefully it all goes together. And who's singing?
Will Lamb is our lead singer. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And are they all about... Ninth graders, 10th graders?
Actually, we have 3 ninth graders, including myself, and 2 juniors. So kind of a odd mix of age, but no sophomores or seniors.
Wow. So, and now back to you, Pops. What's it like having a son coming up, right?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's great.
And did you teach him all the tricks of the trade? I mean, are you the guru instructor that you've always been?
Well, as
Gordon
Thorne calls this, this is the starvation box.
Right? So you give him that insight, you know, like, don't quit your day job?
He's seen me play an awful lot, and he sees how I polish tunes I'm writing or even tunes I'm learning and what it takes to, you know, sometimes I'll have to learn a tune for a wedding or something like that or a special event, and he sees that time it takes to thinking it looks effortless when you're out on stage and it's really a bunch of hours behind there, you know. But it's cool seeing him on mic because he's been on part of the youth radio project here with Patrick Knight, right? And then his buddy Carl Solandri's come in and help out. Carl.
Music show. Yeah, that was fun.
Carl's a legend.
Carl's a
big
legend.
Fan here.
Yeah. He can hang with you, Boyd. So
I want to just know, so when you actually play a tune or whatnot, or even for a general person, how many times do you think you need to play it before you would actually play it live? I mean, before you feel comfortable with
it?
Well,
when I'm writing it, I go through stages where if it gets off the legal pad, I handwrite everything, and if it's sounding okay, then I'll make a quick little audio sketch and audio file on my iPhone, send it off to Adam.
Yeah.
If I don't hear back from him, that's a good sign. That means it's might be okay. And then he just listens to it, and then I don't even tell him what key it's in or anything. And then I probably play it 100 to 200 times. And I start, I'm real big on vocal phrasing the words, so everything needs to fit. That's just my preference of how I do things. And then so I'm tweaking, and then finally I'll pull it out on a gig, maybe within a week or two or three when I have all the words memorized. And then the first couple times we'll do it on, he may have something in his head of how he's going to approach the vocal part with me, or I might talk, or we'll talk about it on a drive, but we don't really rehearse. Hmm. We just start playing it on stage.
But you've played it, a bunch, and then he's played it.
Yeah,
he thinks his part.
Yeah, and he mostly listens, so he's such a great ear player that, and then I might have a special spot where I want a breakdown, or I want something to kind of happen, or we'll. Our vocals will, I may have some ideas, but really we just try to throw it against the wall. It's interesting because Adam records all our shows, so he listens back to when we first introduced songs, and then a year later, it's still the same tune, but it's really grown. You polish them on stage,
Right.
So.
And so people got a chance to come see you tomorrow.
Yes.
At the Voyager.
Yes, we're going to be at Voyager.
4 to 7.
Brewing. 4
pushing
to 7.
Pushing Change, Pushing Change.
Adam's coming up the shore. He lives down Duluth. And then I have a solo gig at Bluefin on Monday. And
then
open mic on Tuesday at Papa Charlie's.
We're talking with Bump Blomberg and Lyndon Blomberg.
Yep. Yeah. There he is.
He's going to be taking these airwaves one of these days. We'll
Right-o.
Get the whole band in here. The band, the drum kit, the whole thing. And Dave's going to let it rock, aren't you, Dave?
Oh, I love the youth.
Yeah.
Love it.
Good stuff.
Exactly.
Well, how about another tune for us?
Perfect. Perfect. Well, I've been playing this one on stage. I tell anyone if they want to record it, they can do so. And then I ask if they have Dwight Yoakam's cell phone number to text the audio file to him, because I want Dwight to sing this. So far, no one's taken me up on that deal, but Adam thinks I'm, I got a better chance of being a center in the NBA than that happening. But still, I say it nearly every time I play it. Something's going to happen one of these days. Anyway, this is called Lucky You, Lucky Him.
In your field of four-leaf clover, wish you'd sit and think it over, your fortune silhouetted by the skies. Now my ship's on shore, it's run aground, the rudder's lost and can't be found. Do you know how much it makes me wanna cry? You made me cry. Oh, lucky you, yeah, lucky him. It mean I'm lonesome, oh, I'm lonesome once again. So lucky you, yes, and lucky him. It's why I'm lonesome, lucky you, lucky him. Ocean meets the middle, facts unfurl inside a riddle, coin notions with no time for good goodbyes. But instead of being bitter, I would hope you'd reconsider, and you know how much it makes me wanna cry. you made me cry. Oh, lucky you, yeah, lucky him. It mean I'm lonesome, oh, I'm lonesome once again. So lucky you, yes, and lucky him. It's why I'm lonesome, lucky you, lucky him. Well, you know I've seen the pictures, I don't wanna see the pictures on her wall. It seemed the minute I looked down, well, another came around, with him she'd gone. Yeah, now she's gone. Oh, lucky you, yes, and lucky him. It mean I'm lonesome, oh, I'm lonesome once again. So lucky you, yes, and lucky him. It's why I'm lonesome, lucky you, lucky him. I'm lonesome, oh, I'm lonesome once again. So lucky you, yes, and lucky him. It's why I'm lonesome, lucky you, lucky him. And now I'm lonesome, ooh, and lucky you. Yeah, lucky him.
All right.
Nice. That
sounded great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Who do we send that to again? To
Dwight Yoakam, please.
Yep. Dave, can you take care of that?
I think he listens, though. I think he's listening.
Sure
right
he
now.
Does, all the way from California Dwight. Or wherever he is. Right?
We'll tweet him.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome, Boyd. Thank you. What else can be said?
Well, I just want to mention you mentioned you played down in Two Harbors at KTWH. Of course, this is the new radio station down there.
Yes.
How'd that go for you?
It was really cool. They've been on air for, now I'm forgetting how long. Like 6 months?
Something like that, six, seven months. Yeah.
Sounds about right. Anyway, we play now and again on Saturdays for the beer tour at Castle Danger Brewing in downtown Two Harbors. And Michelle, who's like, I don't know if her title's station manager, she has a show on the mornings. Mm-hmm. And she had us on to do a pre-recorded in studio, which was great. So we played some songs and chatted a little bit. And it reminded me a lot of the original WTIP studio that was at the school, you know, a little bit larger. But right. It was, you know, you got to go outside to change your mind. I mean, it was, you know, they got a few rooms there.
Right.
And, you know, carpet on the walls. It's like everyone came together there to make it happen, you know.
Community radio.
It was cool.
Yeah, you know, I can remember way back then when we were in the school up there, the old studios, and I can remember going in. I think I just stopped by to do something on a Monday night and watching you and Adam were doing like a Monday night mix, and there was just a sea of CDs everywhere, and you guys were just picking through them and dropping them and putting this in.
We used to call it Stream of Consciousness Monday night mix, because we'd bring it, I'm not kidding you, like 1,000 CDs in 18-gallon Rubbermaid bins. I had them, you know, books of 100 yep. CDs, right? And one thing would lead to another, and we'd just off we'd go. You know, but that was back before you had to write down everything you were playing and everything. You know,
it was the beginning of radio here.
It was a lot of fun, and it's always been a pleasure whenever I'm around and asked to play pledge drives and, you know, radio waves. We were just talking about that earlier today. Yep. It's just great to see how much that has grown over the years.
That's a great event. So hopefully you can come back this year.
That's September 9, 10, and 11 this year, right?
Yep.
Second weekend in September.
September, yep.
Every year.
So, yeah, well, we got about 12 or 13 minutes left here. Maybe we can squeeze in one more song here before the top.
Okay.
And then, Lyndon, you know, we're going to look forward to maybe someday you're going to come in with your band. And
That'll be fun.
The unnamed band, we'll call that for just now. It's the unnamed band, and it's going to happen. And
then, we love a world premiere.
The world premiere on the radio, and then, of course, world premiere at Spinanoli's coming up. All good stuff.
Definitely.
All right.
Time for the big closing number.
The big closing number.
Yeah, I thought it was an opener, but it's
put the pressure on.
I kind of shot it earlier there. That last one was the big finish.
No, I don't believe that.
Okay, I was going to do this one of the Sours Always Swim, but I'm going to do another one. So Adam and I, you know, we don't do any kind of press releases or, you know, people in our own backyard. We only play about once a month up here. You know, on the shore. Of course, I'm a parent of two up here, so I try to stick around at least a week and a month. But last September, we were part of the Minnesota Bluegrass Association. We were in the duet championships down at the Minnesota State Fair. And we garnered a second place finish there, which was great because we're not really a bluegrass act, right? It was all duos. Mm-hmm. And the third place finishers certainly told us as much. and the two guys that won had ties on, and Adam and I just thought, well, we're not going there. We're not going to wear ties. But anyway, this is one we did on the big stage there. Now we got invited back. We got a couple. I can't remember which stage we're going to be on, Minnesota State Fair, but it's that weekend before Radio Waves. So if anyone's down at Minnesota, Great Minnesota Get Together, they can track us down. Of course, we have all that at pushandchain.com, and you can find out our schedule and other goodies there. Anyway, this is called Breadbox.
How can I love another? Lord, you know she's bound to roll. I'll never want to love another. Now I'm betting on the bread box. Money in the bread box, you come home to me. Well, if I had a parlor, I would make a pot of tea. We'd be sitting talking smart all night. She'd never want to leave. But I ain't got a parlor when I make that pot of tea. Now I'm wishing she'd come on back and let the mother fellers be. How can I love another? Lord, you know she's bound to roll. I never want to love another. Now I'm betting on the bread box. Money in the bread box, you come on to me. Well, if I had a pasture, all my horses 20 inches tall, mason jars and cellars, firewood stacked like a Chinese wall. But I ain't got a pasture, my old muley's rather small, and I'll love that gal all winter and spring and summer into fall. How can I love another? Lord, you know she's bound to roam. I'll never want to love another. Now I'm betting on the bread box, money in the bread box, she'd come home to me.
Better pick it.
I were to get down, down on my bended knee, all California's golden wedding band, and ask her to marry me. I've yet to buy that wedding band, but I'm down on bended knee, and I'll love her longer than all my days, and deeper than the deepest sea. How can I love another? Lord, you know she's bound to roam. I'll never want to love another. Now I'm betting all the bread box money in the bread box, she'll come home to me. Yeah, I'm betting all the bread box money in the bread box, she'll come home to me.
Oh, all right.
Yeehaw.
That's a beauty.
That was bluegrass.
So, yeah, Bump Lomberg, Pushing Chain tomorrow afternoon, 4 to 7.
Yeah.
Voyager Brewing Company.
Out.
And also then Sunday at.
Monday night. At,
Monday night.
8 p.m. at Bluefin.
Yep.
Bluefin,
Bluefin Grill. Bluefin Grill, yeah.
And then Tuesday, 7 p.m. start for the Papa Charlie's Open Mic that I've been hosting. I think this is my 7th or 8th year.
All right.
Something like that. It's wonderful. Come on out to that.
And then he's mentioned pushingchain.com. You can get all the information
there.
All
the stuff right there.
Great. Excellent. Well, thank you for coming in.
Thanks
tonight.
For having me on, guys.
It's been a pleasure having you here. And thanks, Lyndon, for coming in, too.
Yep. Had a great time.
Yeah. Right. Thank you, Blumbergs.
Sounds good.